welcome. I was going to do something a little bit different this morning. I wanted to share with you a little bit about... Oh, stop working. Are you able just to click on the next slide? Thanks. I wanted to share with you something about God's amazing providence. We were commemorating Victory in Europe Day and Victory Over Japan Day last year, and I wanted to share with you an account of God's amazing providence during that time. This, as you may know, those of you who know your history, is not VJ Day. It's actually the signing of the actual signing of the surrender. The actual truce was on August the 15th, although this is actually in September. I wanted to share with you about a lady called Peggy Cavell. Anyone heard of Peggy Cavell? I've not come across anybody in any church who's heard of Peggy Cavell, and yet she is the hero for me of this story. And the passage that we considered and we read a little bit earlier came to become very significant and very important in her life. Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Those words became extremely significant in her life. Has anyone heard of Jacob de Chaser? He's slightly better known. He's an American pilot. The third person in the story is perhaps the most famous, although only one or two people may have heard of him, a chap called Matsui Fuchida. Anyone heard of Matsui Fuchida? One or two may be thinking they might have done. Yet in God's amazing providence, these three very different lives are weaved together. So I'm going to share with you a little bit about how that happened. Peggy Cavell, she was born to American Baptist missionaries in Japan. They were in Japan in the 1930s. That's when she was born. And her brother too, and they served in Japan. There was a group of about a dozen or so American missionaries, families who served in Japan. But as you're probably aware, things became increasingly difficult in the 1930s. Things became tense. Things became quite challenging. And so the missionary, her parents and the other missionaries made a decision that they would have to leave Japan. The first thing they did, though, was to make the decision to send Peggy back to America to be brought to be looked after by relatives and a brother too. That was, as it happened, a very wise decision. So she was sent back to America. Her parents continued, and they decided, what are they going to do as tensions increased between Japan and America? They decided that they would have to leave Japan. It was too dangerous. But they didn't want to go just close the works. So they decided they would travel to the Philippines and they would start work there, start ministering there to the people of the Philippines. And that's what they did. So they moved en masse to the Philippines and they moved to a very remote area of the Philippines, one of the islands. They would meet in the open air. They called it a place called Hope Vale, Hope Valley. And every Sunday they would meet about 100 or so, mostly Filipino locals from villages around and about. And they would seek to minister and serve in the villages around about and share their faith with these local Filipinos. And that continued. The Japanese armies occupied the Philippines, which meant that their situation was increasingly difficult and dangerous. But they continued on for a few years undetected until in December 1943, and this obviously is a couple of years after Pearl Harbor and the entry of America into the conflict and full-blown conflict with Japan, they were discovered by the Japanese army. They were declared to be enemies of Japan, and they were told that they would be executed as enemies of Japan. And at that point, a couple of things happened. Peggy's parents and the other missionaries, the first thing they asked for was time to pray. They asked for time to pray. The second thing they asked for was for the lives of the local Filipinos who were meeting with them. And that was granted. So the local Filipinos were allowed to go, but the missionaries were granted time to pray. They were then brutally murdered, and they're known as the Hope Vale Martyrs. Not many people know about them. Very brave people who gave their lives in the service of their Lord. And I think there is a group every year in America who commemorate their memory. There is a plaque in the Philippines, in the area where they served, which commemorates them too. But apart from that, very, very few people have ever heard of the Hope Vale Martyrs. Peggy, when she heard the news, of course she became extremely understandably angry and embittered. She became really consumed with bitterness and anger towards those who committed this atrocity, and she vowed that she would somehow get some sort of vengeance on those who committed this terrible crime. And she continued in this understandable state. She was a Christian, but she was overcome by bitterness and anger. And she continued in this state until she learnt what her parents and those other missionaries had prayed for. There were local Filipinos who were spared, and they witnessed what had been prayed for. And that news eventually came to Peggy Cavell. And she discovered that her parents and the others had prayed that God would forgive those who were about to commit that atrocity. That God would forgive those who would murder them. When Peggy Cavell heard that, she reasoned that if her parents could forgive those who would murder them and show such Christian compassion and forgiveness towards them, then she must do too. She must do too. And so she joined herself to, in America, to a prisoner of war camp there as a hospital that was treating captured Japanese those who had been captured in the war, prisoners. And she showed the Japanese captors such compassion and such care and such kindness that they were quite overcome, many of them, with curiosity. And also shocked by the treatment they received. They didn't regard receiving as captors. They wouldn't expect any particular kindness to be shown to them. But Peggy Cavell showed them tremendous kindness. And they would say to her, why do you do this? Why do you show us such compassion and such care? And she would say something along those lines, because the Japanese army killed my parents, but the Holy Spirit has washed away my hatred and replaced it with his love. That's Peggy Cavell. Jacob de Chaser, he was an American pilot in World War II. He was part of the famous Doolittle raids over Japan. And on one occasion, as was often the case, his plane on return had dropped its payload and was running out of fuel, and the aim was to land in occupied Chinese territory rather than territory occupied by the Japanese army. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for them, and the plane crashed, and he survived, but he was captured. He then spent the next couple of years in a Japanese prisoner of war camp, and he was brutally treated, and he was tortured. He was sent to solitary confinement on many occasions, and he burned with anger against those who had imprisoned him. He burnt with anger against the Japanese, and he plotted and planned, if he ever got out of there, he plotted and planned his revenge. And he continued in that state extremely angry, extremely embittered, and he was suffering a lot. It's understandable. Extremely embittered until, on one occasion, being sent to solitary confinement, he was given a Red Cross parcel. And in that Red Cross parcel was a Bible. And he made the most amazing discovery in that cell on his own. He discovered that it wasn't just his Japanese enemies who treated him so awfully. He discovered that he too had sins and that he too had offended the God who made him. And he too was a sinful man and he too needed forgiveness. And in that solitary cell, Jacob de Chaser cried out to God for forgiveness for his own sins. And then he prayed that God would give him grace. God would give him grace to forgive his captors. Jacob de Chaser, there was an almost instant change in him, which was noted by his captors. But Jacob de Chaser did survive the war. And after the war, he decided that he should go to Japan and he would become a pastor and a missionary in one of the Japanese towns that he himself had bombed when he was a pilot. And there he served in Japan for many years. The third person in the triumvirate is Matsui Fuchida. He was a war hero in Japan. He was the lead pilot in the bombing of Pearl Harbor. That's quite a thing. In fact, if you watch the old clips, you can see old clips of the attack on Pearl Harbor. There are clips of some of the pilots. He's there shouting, "Tora, Tora, Tora," which means something like attack, attack, attack. And of course, after the war, he was a war hero. But he too became very embittered and very enraged in a slightly different way to Peggy Cavell and Jacob de Chaser. He became embittered and enraged because he couldn't understand why the Japanese war leaders were going to be tried for war crimes. He couldn't comprehend it. He thought everyone treated their prisoners in the same brutal way. And he continued in this way of thinking. He was particularly angry because he had to attend the war trials. He wasn't being tried himself, but he had to give evidence in the war trials. Two things happened. The first thing that happened was he met one of the pilots he used to fly with, a man I think whose name was Kuchida, and he expressed to him his horror at the war cry, the war trials and so on, and the unfairness of it all, and so on. And Kuchida said, yes, but I used to think the same until I was captured, I was wounded, and I found myself in an American prisoner of war hospital facility. And there I met a young lady who showed me such kindness and compassion, who shared with me about a God who forgave, that it really struck me and really shook me. And Matsui, he found this extremely difficult, the idea that someone could forgive their enemies. But Peggy Cavell, Kuchida said, showed me that there is a God who so loved us that he sent his son, and that she was able to forgive despite the Japanese army's atrocities. The second thing that happened was after leaving one of the war trials, on the pavement outside, somebody was handing out tracts and gave him a tract, and he went home and read it. And the tract spoke about a American pilot called Jacob de Chaser, who was now serving in a Japanese town not too far away, who had found forgiveness. And so Matsui Fuchida, the man who bombed Pearl Harbor, sought out Jacob de Chaser. What a meeting that must have been. And before long, he was seeking after God. And before long, he was asking for forgiveness for his own sins. And before long, Matsui Fuchida became a Christian. He spent the rest of his life traveling Japan. He traveled to America as well. And he shared the story of how the man who bombed Pearl Harbor, the embittered man who bombed Pearl Harbor, became a Christian and found forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Quite a story, isn't it? It made me think about forgiveness. This is an old hymn. It's very little known. I've never heard it sung, although it is in New Christian Hymns, which is quite a new hymn production. The lady who wrote it is Rosamund Herklotz. And again, I've not met anyone who knows anything about Rosamund Herklotz. But we know a little bit about her life. It was an unremarkable life, if I can put it like that. So you know what I mean. But during the World War II, she did spend quite a lot of time in the underground. And apparently, when she was going sheltering in the underground, she would gather children around her and tell them Bible stories. She was born to missionary parents, apparently, in India. She also grew up in Leeds. And she worked as a secretary most of her life to a medical expert. And one day, as she was digging up weeds, she thought about the whole subject of bitterness. Now, we don't know much about Rosamund Herklotz, but we do know that she knew something about being hurt and something about forgiveness. She must have done. To be able to write these words, she must have had some very deep sorrows and some very deep pains in her life. And people must have been, must have grieved her greatly to be able to write these words. Forgive our sins as we forgive. You taught us, Lord, to pray. But you alone can grant us grace to live the words we say. How can your pardon reach and bless the unforgiving heart that broods on wrongs and will not let old bitterness depart? Some of us know the truth of that verse. But it's the third verse, isn't it? It's the third verse which shows just a profound understanding of Christian forgiveness. In blazing light, your cross reveals the truth we dimly knew. What trivial debts are owed to us, how great our debt to you. And then a hymn finishes with a prayer. What a prayer for us today. Lord, cleanse the depths within our souls and bid resentment cease. Then bound to all in bonds of love, our lives will spread your peace. And I'm not pretending this morning that forgiveness is easy. In that divine sense, it cost God his Son. But no one's pretending forgiveness is easy. And there are some of us, and there are some folk, who face incredibly difficult, complex circumstances where forgiveness is a real challenge. And there's sometimes forgiving when there's no sorrow on the person who has caused you such hurt. There's no repentance. There's no confession of sin. I'm not pretending it's an easy subject. I'm not pretending that it is an easy thing. But Jesus' words, forgive our sins as we forgive, you taught us, Lord, to pray, they are some of the most profound and challenging words in the whole Bible, aren't they? Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who have sinned against us. And what are we to make of this massive subject, this issue of forgiveness? Without it, people spend years in bitterness, and they cannot deal with it, and they find it so almost impossible to deal with it, and their circumstances are such you kind of understand it, but you meet people who are still embittered, don't you? But isn't it verse 3 of her hymn that we need to think about? If we can embrace the spirit of verse 3, if we can remember what trivial debts are owed to us, how great our debt to you, if we can recognize before God that the first thing for us is to recognize how great our debt is to him. If we can do that, then I think even on this kind of most difficult subject of forgiveness, we can embrace the spirit of Peggy Cavell, and we can't go too far wrong. So Peggy Cavell, little known, but what a tremendous Christian testimony. And we must pray ourselves that we have something of that spirit. Are we going to sing again? We're going to sing Speak, O Lord, and then I'll close the meeting in prayer. Okay, so we're going to stand to sing Speak, O Lord.